Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, y'all? We are back with another edition of the DNVR Rams podcast. It has been one of the craziest months of my entire life. I've been in more cities in less time than I've ever experienced before. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Obviously, a disappointing end. CSU falls 56-44 to Texas and Charlotte in the opening round of the tournament. Scored 11 first half points. That was rough. In some regards, I'm glad we've had a little bit of time that has passed before we really dove into this, just so that the emotion of the moment could cool a little bit. I'm going to give some takeaways from the season as a whole. I'm going to break down this Texas matchup. This is going to be a two-part pod. I'm also going to get into what happens next. It's going to be a really interesting offseason for CSU. Obviously, Nico Medved is a target for a couple of high major jobs. The fact that Dusty May got Michigan is really interesting, so I'll talk about that and just kind of how it could impact CSU with everything. I'll get into kind of what I would like to see CSU do this offseason, some areas I'd like to see them improve. I'll talk about the Mountain West and whether the league did enough to improve perception. I'll talk about the flaws with the way that we judge teams solely by tournament success at times. I'll get into all of that. First things first, though, I just kind of wanted to start with and if you listen to the pod, I'm sure you're shocked. This was a fun season, guys. They ran out of gas for sure. I can only imagine how heavy their legs are just based on my travel schedule, which ended up being pretty similar to theirs. I actually got back to Denver a little bit sooner than they did on Saturday. They didn't get in to like 1 a.m. Sunday morning. Then you have selection Sunday. You're scrambling, trying to get prepared. You're back out on the road. You're on the other side of the country by Monday afternoon, practicing for a late night game. You ultimately get into Charlotte around 3 a.m. on Wednesday. Because they were the last team booked, they unfortunately did not get the hotels like everybody else. They were like 30 minutes away from the arena. I know that some people are going to roll their eyes and be like, man, all these excuses. To some extent, yeah, probably they are. But I do think that it had to have been a factor, just the crazy travel schedule, the amount of games they played in 9 days versus Texas, who hadn't played at all. It was just a completely different situation. The Longhorns got bounced in their first game in the Big 12 tournament, so they're not in the same spot CSU is in and having to play 3 games in 3 days in Vegas. They're well-rested. They obviously don't play the play-in game either. There's a lot of opinions on whether the play-in game actually counts. To me, that's dumb. It counts as an official NCAA tournament win. In the history books, you get NCAA tournament win shares for it. It's a win, and it's only the fifth NCAA tournament win in program history. So it's been few and far between, much like many of the accomplishments that the Rams had in the regular season, being ranked for 9 weeks, more high major wins in a single season than any team this century, the highest ranked win since beating UTEP in 84, I think they were the fifth team. But to beat a top 10 team like Creighton the way that CSU did, it was incredible. And I just hope that the fans are able to keep some perspective. Medved talked about it a little bit in the post-game session, just how when you look at the history of what CSU is, this is a pretty unique year. Now, that's not to say that you can't hope for more, to strive for more, but it is a process. And I've done this whole rant before, so I'm not going to go through it again, but I just highly encourage you to go back and look at San Diego State pre-Steve Fisher, even the first 5 years that he was there and essentially had to build that program up from the ashes, you don't just go from being a typical mid-major to a team like San Diego State or Gonzaga overnight. There's some lumps along the way. Even San Diego State, prior to last year, they were kind of known as the team that has the great regular season and then always gets bounced in the first round of the tournament. They've definitely been able to kind of change that perception of late, which is great. And that's kind of the hope for CSU moving forward, is that you're able to build off of what you've accomplished over these last six seasons, whether it be continued with Nico Medved or if you promote Ali Farokhmanesh, which to me is a no-brainer if Medved does in fact end up leaving. We'll get into all of that on part two. But this was a really fun year. It doesn't mean that you can be, or that you're wrong for being disappointed with the way that CSU went out. Obviously, scoring 11 points in the first half is about as brutal as it gets. Kind of funny, given the way that that Virginia game played out. Is Virginia basketball contagious? Some are saying. But you also got to admire the fight. I'm going to get into all of it. I don't know. I think it's one of those, with time, you'll be able to look back at it and be able to appreciate what this season was. It always hurts in the moment, though, and I certainly get that. We're going to move on. We're going to talk about that game against Texas a little bit more in depth. Real quick, sometimes it feels like we have to be on all the time. It's important to hit the reset every now and then, whether you're just going out with friends, catching a game. It could just be chilling around the house or the fire pit. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. When you're trying to juggle work, family, life in general, things can feel chaotic. It's important to just have a moment for yourself every now and then. Coors Light helps you find the moments to reset and refresh all year long. I love having an ice cold Coors Light, certainly at a ball game, but even if I'm just chilling on the couch watching a game, if I'm at the bar with friends, it's cold lagered, cold filtered, cold packaged. When it's time to refresh, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment, crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Instacart by going to coorslight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. There are a lot of financial institutions out there, but here's the one I want you to remember. Premier Members Credit Union. They're not a bank, so they do things differently. They put their members first with higher savings interest, lower loan rates. It's an organization that serves the community and the Colorado community in particular. With PMCU, you get local branches, friendly tellers. You're also going to get the tools you need to save smarter. Their new high-yield savings account allows you to earn 5% APY on your first $2,000 with a reverse-tier money market. Whatever your goals, they can help. PMCU is about creating a better banking experience for their community. PMCU has the tools to help you save smarter. When you become a new member at PMCU, you're going to get $200. You just have to open a checking account and sign up for e-statements. It's that easy. This will be the best money move yet. Head to becomepremier.com to find out more. Finally, I don't know about you guys, but I hate trying to stress over buying tickets. I hate when I'm looking at an app and I think I'm getting a sweet deal, and all of a sudden I get jacked up with a bunch of service charges and convenience fees. Doesn't seem very convenient to me. You shouldn't have to worry when you're buying tickets for your next big event. With Game Time, you don't have to. It's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for sports, music, comedy, theater, you name it. They've got killer last-minute deals, all-in prices. You can get the view from your seat. And their best price guarantee means that Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. They've got great deals on Nuggets, Avalanche, college football, college basketball, a little bit of everything. They are obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets, and they have deals on the tickets up to an hour before the event, sometimes even after it starts. You can get exclusive flash deals. You can get zone deals where you pick the section, Game Time picks the seats, and you're going to save an average of 18%. And with the Game Time guarantee, you're always going to get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the app, create an account, use the code DNVR for $20 off your first purchase. Terms do apply. Again, create an account, use that code DNVR for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. All right, let's rip this Band-Aid off. Let's get into these Texas takeaways. Obviously, the offense was ugly. It was really ugly, about as ugly as it can get. CSU scored 11 points in the first half, 5 of 27 from the floor, 1 of 9 from deep. The big problem was turnovers. They had 11 turnovers. They had 19 in the game. You've got to credit Texas for not allowing CSU to establish a presence in the post. And a lot of that probably had to do with their size and athletic advantage. Some of that had to do with CSU trying to do too much, especially with some of the turnovers, just, you know, trying to get a little bit too cute at times. The Rams were out of sorts. I mean, that's really the only way to put it. They were able to get it going a little bit better in the second half. You shoot 12 of 31 from the floor, 38% overall, 5 of 15 from three. Made it interesting, if nothing else. What stings about the loss, though, is just this was a winnable game. Texas was beatable. If you hold your opponent to 40% from the floor, just 22 of 55, Texas was 7% from deep, only 1 of 14. I mean, they were able to hold Dylan Dessou to 12 points on 5 of 18 shooting. You hold Max Azmus to 12 points on 5 of 15 combined. That's, you know, 24 points, but on 10 of 33 from the floor, the Rams, I mean, they defended well enough to give themselves a shot in this one. And it's honestly, it's why they were not down by more. You know, you're down 16 at halftime, could have very easily been down 30 plus with how poor they played offensively. The Rams just couldn't capitalize enough on their opportunities to really take it in the end. They pulled within six with a little over 4 minutes left. And at that point, you're feeling kind of good. Texas breaks a three, but then you immediately turn it over in transition. The Rams were awful in transition in this game, which is something you almost never see. That is the biggest credit I think I'll give to Texas. They did a really good job of getting back. They had 12 turnovers, but they didn't allow a single point off of those turnovers. Then you look at it the other way, and CSU, they had 19 turnovers in the game, and it resulted in 17 points the other way in a game that you end up losing by 12. Even with as bad as the shot making was, and that really is what prevented CSU from potentially like reaching the ceiling that we all thought was possible around the holidays, was the inconsistent shot making. Sorry, dog's going crazy in the background there to Amazon driver. Hopefully it's not too loud, but you know, you don't have to be the most athletic team. You knew that Texas was going to have the athleticism advantage, the size advantage. But if you're not, and we see this with the teams that are able to move on, if you look at a squad like Oakland, it really comes down to offensive execution. Can you create open looks? And when you get those opportunities, can you knock them down? And unfortunately for CSU, kind of going back to late January, the shot making just fell off a cliff. Now, what allowed them to remain competitive and still be a factor in all this was they established a great presence in the post, and Joel Scott was so huge. Nee Clifford's a big part of that. I mean, you get some points from Cartier and some of those other guys, but especially Joel Scott, his ability to get fouled down low, to score down low, you know, that forced defenses to respect the Rams in the paint. And then, you know, with Texas, they took that away. They're daring guys to shoot, and we just couldn't take advantage. Strong was 1 of 4 from deep. Stevens was 2 of 7. Clifford, 1 of 3. Cartier, 0 of 3. Lake, 1 of 4. Palmer, 1 of 3. Just didn't get enough out of anybody, especially with Isaiah Stevens having an uncharacteristically poor performance offensively. He finished with 10 points, only 4 of 16 from the floor. I think he missed his first 10 or 11 shots from the field. I mean, he did have 4 assists, 4 rebounds, still ended up playing 38 minutes. You got to respect the hell out of his heart. He'll never use it as an excuse, but I just don't believe that he was fully healthy. Really kind of going back to that, the beginning of the Mountain West tournament or so, it seemed like he aggravated his calf in that San Jose State game and then just kind of wasn't the same after that. You know, I think he re-aggravated against Nevada. I did think he was moving a little bit better in Charlotte in the open practice than he appeared to be in Dayton. Didn't have that calf sleeve on that he wore against Virginia, but he just, some of the plays he made, some of the shots that he missed in these last couple of games, he never misses. Maybe you're able to survive that under different circumstances. If Joel Scott goes off and has another double-double, if you can get a 20-plus point performance out of Nee Clifford and the type of game you got from Joe Palmer against San Jose State or Jalen Lake against Nevada or CU, where one of those guys goes for like 15, hits 3 or 4 open threes. Because it's not like Texas was lighting it up. They just dug themselves too deep of a hole after already kind of going through a gauntlet. again, I keep going back to the travel factor. I think if you play this game under different circumstances, CSU matches up pretty decently with Texas. I know they have the bigger, more explosive athletes, but the reason I wasn't shaking in my boots or anything like that is they're undisciplined. They don't create a ton of, you know, high level looks. It's a lot of being dependent on Dylan Dessou and Abe Smith to shot create for them, for themselves, excuse me, which when it's rolling, you know, that's awesome, but it can be a highly erratic way to play. Nothing I saw from Texas in this game or throughout the season has me feeling particularly impressed with Rodney Terry as a coach or anything like that. Out of the possible draws you could get in a 7-10 game against a team with an established hoops history with a big brand nationally, this really wasn't the worst spot in the world. Just didn't play well enough to win. It really is that simple. Not going to win very many games when your starters go something like 15 of 48 from the field, especially when the bench also gets outplayed. Texas finished with a plus 14 advantage in points scored by the rotation. All right, I'm going to give some final thoughts on this one. The season as a whole, kind of put a bow on it. And then in part two, we're going to look forward to the future. We're going to talk about kind of what comes next for CSU. It's a really interesting offseason. I'm also going to give some thoughts on the Mountain West as a whole this year and whether they did enough perception-wise to consider this NCAA tournament season a success. Obviously got six bids in, which was a record, but opinions kind of differ on whether they did enough, so I'll get into that. Real quick, I do want to shout out our friends at the Circa Resort and Casino. Spent almost a week there for the Mountain West tournament, and it was incredible. I mean, it really is the best place that I've ever stayed out there. It's Las Vegas's first ever adult-only casino resort. They check your ID at the door, and then you're done. You don't have to show it every time you get a drink. You don't have to show it every time you're trying to place a bet. If you're in there, they know you're good. What's cool is there's a little bit of something for everybody. They've got an awesome casino, 7,000 square feet. It's two levels. They've got over 1,300 slots, 48 table games with dancing dealers. They have Stadium Swim, which is just epic. It's 143 by 40-foot LED screen. You can sit poolside. You can sit in the hot tub. They've got cabanas. They've got swim bars. They've got it all. It really is insane. They've got over 500 rooms with a variety of layouts to fit your needs. Elevate your evening at the Legacy Club or any of their restaurants. I am a big fan of 8 East, which is an Asian spot there. They've also got Victory Burger, which is just awesome. If you're heading out to Vegas for anything, Broncos, Raiders, Avs, Knights, you just want to hit Sin City, make sure that you sign up and stay at Circa with the code DNVR20 for 20% off. You can also get the Circa Sportsbook Colorado app. Is available for download only while in the state of Colorado. Bets can be made while physically located in the state of Colorado. Must be 21 or older. All rights reserved. Circa Sports Colorado encourages you to gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-GAMBLER or visit problemgamblingcolorado.org. You're also going to want to sign up for the Circle K Inner Circle. It's a free membership. It's easy to download. All you got to do is sign up with your email and phone number to be fully enrolled. After that, all you're going to need is your phone number to sign up to get the deals every time. You're going to get 5 fill-ups where you save 25 cents per gallon each time. That's awesome. You can get 5 Polar Pops for free. After that, you get rewards on all dispensed beverages, donuts, and more. You can get a free any size Polar Pop from the Colorado Circle K if you text DNVR to 31310. That's DNVR to the number 31310. Message and data rates may apply. Periodic recurring messages per month. Terms and conditions can be viewed at CircleK.com. Visit www.CircleK.com/innercircle for more information. Before we get out of here, I did want to give just a couple of more final thoughts on this season as a whole. I'm going to remember this team forever. I know that with how things ended up playing out, it was disappointing that they didn't win the Mountain West. I certainly believe that they were good enough to. Maybe a different schedule and things shake out differently, but at the same time, you know, champions, they find a way to get it done. This team obviously did not. At the same time, for a team that was picked 5th in what was kind of projected to be a 2-3 bid league coming into the year, to have the season that this Rams team had, to be undefeated against top 25 teams. They went 2-0 against ranked opponents this year. to be ranked themselves for 9 weeks, to establish the earliest ranking in program history, the longest sustained ranking in program history, the highest ranking in program history, to beat Washington, Boston College, and Creighton all on neutral courts, to beat CU at home, to beat each of the top five other teams that qualified for the tournament in the Mountain West. I mean, this was a really fun year. It's a little bit of bad luck that the league ended up being as good as it was when CSU also had the potential to, you know, kind of accomplish something historic here. But at the same time, this was really cool to get this essentially high major basketball experience and to be able to watch such competitive play night in, night out for 4.5, 5 straight months. It was something that I don't take for granted. I mean, again, I understand that it stinks that the Rams went out the way that they did. I'm still hurting from it, just being honest with you. It kills me to know that if things go a little bit differently, if, you know, they hit a few more shots, maybe we have a chance to see this team play their way into the Sweet 16. Who knows? I mean, the matchup with Tennessee would have been a really hard draw, but it would have been cool just to see them get to that second game. You would have had 2 NCAA tournament wins, which would have been pretty freaking incredible. Would have been, technically speaking, a third of their NCAA tournaments all time in a 5-day period. It kills me that Isaiah Stevens didn't get to have his signature moment in the tournament, where you look back and, you know, Zay has like a 30-point, 11-assist game or something like that. Just that's one of those things that'll always kind of leave a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth. At the same time, I know it would have been so easy for a guy like him to hop in the transfer portal to chase a check. He would have got a nice little payday by a handful of high major schools. I mean, there have been Big 12 schools going after him. His entire career at this stage, he could have literally gone anywhere in the country. He stays loyal. I'm thankful that the Rams did at least accomplish what they did, that they got to the tournament, that they won a game. And now, you know, moving forward, nobody should ever wear 4 again. I don't know what the future holds for Isaiah as far as his professional prospects go. There's going to be some significant hurdles for him to overcome in order to land on an NBA roster. I certainly think that he's skilled enough to be an NBA player, but you're going to need the right fit for sure. If not, I'm sure he could make a very comfortable living overseas, see the world. Dude could be a phenomenal coach whenever he wants to, but it's a team that I'm always going to remember fondly, especially because of Isaiah coming back, but also the storyline with Nate Clifford, and I certainly hope to have him back. We'll kind of talk about that more on part 2. To be a guy that CSU initially missed out on a couple of years ago, to then land him as a transfer from CU and have him revitalize his career, really find his footing in Fort Collins, was such a cool story, as was Joe Palmer and Cartier and Joel Scott, all these guys coming up from the D2 and D3 ranks and, you know, really establishing themselves as legitimate players at the D1 level in a great conference. I mean, this team was just so unique. Great guys on and off the court. There were a ton of fun memories, both on national settings, like getting the play-in win and a standalone game, like beating Creighton on Thanksgiving the way they did, from being in Fort Collins, the sellout crowds at Moby. I mean, this was a run to remember. And the Rams, they ran out of gas a little bit sooner than we would have liked, unfortunately. But it's something like 7% of teams in the country qualify for an at-large bid. Even fewer, obviously, are able to win any games. And it was a blast. It was a blast. Make sure you tune into part 2. The last thing I'm going to finish up with here on part 1, I had a question from my good friend Aaron Harris. He wanted to know, what was the best experience NCAA tournament-wise between Indianapolis 2 years ago, Dayton, or Charlotte? And I think this is a really good question because it's kind of got some layers to it. The quality of basketball that was played was not very great in Charlotte. All 4 of the games were kind of duds, unfortunately, so that was disappointing. That said, Charlotte as a city was really cool. You know, one of the cooler places that I've been, got to stay at a really nice spot across from the hotel. It was a great setup. Indy is a really convenient setup as well. I think Gainbridge Fieldhouse is just a gorgeous facility. I think functionally it's the best basketball arena I've ever been in, and the setup was also great, so convenient across from the hotel. Dayton, though, was really unique because, you know, I was obviously kind of annoyed going in. I was frustrated by the travel situation. I was frustrated that they were in the play-in game in the first place. But you get there, and the arena's gorgeous. It's a really cool setup. It was well attended. The atmosphere was awesome. It was two fun games. I mean, at least for me, from a CSU perspective, if you're a UVA guy or just a casual observer, I'm not sure how entertaining that CSU-UVA game was. But essentially, kind of long-winded point coming full circle here, I think the atmosphere inside the arena was the best in Dayton. It really did change my mind on the whole concept of a play-in game. It's really well run. It's a fun experience if you're able to be there in person. The facility itself was nicest in Indianapolis. Gainbridge Fieldhouse is incredible, but I enjoyed Charlotte as a city the most. I haven't gotten to spend as much time in North Carolina as I would like to, but between my experiences going out to Raleigh-Durham, however you want to say that, for the Duke game, and then going out to Charlotte for this NCAA tournament experience were both really cool. It seems like a really cool state. It's gorgeous. The metro area was really unique. It was a great spot. I had a great time, and I'm really thankful that I was able to do this. I mean, it honestly is crazy to me that I have been able to go out on the road, you know, following my alma mater in the NCAA tournament, that I was hosting live shows from the Circa Resort and Casino at the Mountain West tournament. I never expected any of this in a million years. I just started writing about CSU after I was done working for the football team because it was something that seemed fun to me, something I was kind of passionate about, and all these years later for it to come full circle, and I'm not going to do the whole thing again, but just, you know, it felt really fitting this year that, like, I'm in this position, I'm covering CSU basketball. It was really cool, and I'm really thankful for all you guys. We're going to talk more about what comes next on part two, so make sure you're locked into that, and I'm also going to get into the Mountain West and whether they did enough in the NCAA tournament for this to be constituted as a success. Tune in to part two. Much love, y'all. Peace.
Peaches out of Palisades, sweet as mama's marmalade. This shit sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. My mama slapped that bass, my sister sang these songs. Dancing under canopies, we thank the trees for all their leaves. We are just some drops of water, together make up seven seas. And one day I'll be like my father, one day I will learn to breathe. I'm choking on the thought that I am not the man I wanna be. I got blood on my shirt, like I wear my heart on my sleeve. She said I look good in red, but that went straight to my head. So now she's rocking my tees, tucked into new Prada jeans. And we ain't spoke in a month, but I just saw her last week. The lipstick stain still on my cheek, like we ain't talk enough. And we always seem to laugh, but never nod at us. So the future's looking grim, it's kinda ominous. And this song ain't about love, that'd be too obvious. See, this is more about lust and all of my misconceptions. And this is more about me and all of my self-deception. I'll tell myself a lie 100 times, don't need corrections. But every night I pray to God, I hope I learn my lesson. And the peaches out from Palisade, and they sweet as mama's marmalade. And this should sound like summer days, the windows down on harmony. The family band sing harmonies, my daddy played the drums. And my mama slapped that bass, and my sister sang these songs. Dancing hand in hand, we were tripping to left feet, like a middle school slow dance. No one knew how to lead, but I'm still thankful for these days. They put a smile on my...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.